Praise the Lord. Are you excited?
Yes.
You excited to be in church? I'm always excited to come and see your lovely faces and fellowship. That's what church is all about, to come together and be together. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. If you're visiting us this morning, we want to welcome you as well. Those of you who are visiting, please wave to us. And we'll give you a lovely, lovely Living Light Gospel Church welcome. No, everyone's part of the furniture.
Sharon's here.
Of course, Sharon's here. Sharon's here last week. Yeah.
But he's here again.
And Sharon and Jenny are getting married on Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Exciting. After 20 years. Wow. That's called perseverance. Long suffering.
Patience.
Love is patience. Love is kind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And those are some of the fruit of the Spirit that God wants us to have. Hallelujah. Let's pray for the word. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, your word is light. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is everlasting to everlasting. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word, O God, will last forever. And Lord, today I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the inspiration of the Spirit. Thank you, God, that this word is for the season. This word is prophetic. This word is for those who dare to take on the word of God and to live, Lord, according to your principles, your precepts, O God. Father, I thank you for your word, that it shall not come back to you void, O God, but it shall accomplish every purpose that you wanted this word to do. This morning, I thank you, Lord, for transformed mindsets, O God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you, Lord, that you have purposed this church for greater works, O God, for greater things. And I pray and thank you that most and all the people here this morning, God, they are called for something great. They're called for something great, every one of them. And Father, I thank you that, Lord, as we come to receive your word today, thank you. You speak to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, hide me from the people so that they hear your voice and your voice alone, just your word alone, nothing else, O God. I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people agreed and said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want to begin by making this wonderful and powerful truth. And it is that God's battle plans are very simple. And most of us think God is a very complicated God. God allows us to have very simple things in life. But his battle plans are always very simple. God never uses complicated strategies to reach the world. Never. He has never done that. All he did was use father and son relationship. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that was the only thing that God used. The nature of the Son, the Sonship, gives us now in this church today, or those who walk in righteousness with him, the place to call him Abba Father. Jesus set that platform for us to be able to call his Father our Father. Hallelujah. What a great privilege.
Amen.
That's why family is really, really important in church. And the message today is to get you out of thinking congregation. Because congregation come and go.
Yeah.
But those who are called by his name, hallelujah, those who understood sonship will stay.
Amen.
They will take on the plow and never look back. They will take on the work and never look back. Hallelujah. So God never uses complicated strategies. God always uses a simplicity, and that is the father and son relationship. Family is big. Family is a big thing in God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, Bible says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery that returns you to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. When you give your heart to Christ and you come into the kingdom of God, you are not just a Christian. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. And what I'm trying to bring to you this morning is this. when God addresses, and you hear a lot of this son in the Bible all the time. God addresses the spirit. Amen? God never addresses gender, because spirit is who your core being is. That's why the Bible talks about the sons, and the sons, including daughters, are all spirit. Hallelujah. So sons are loyal and then take heed to instructions. Congregation mindsets are a group of people who murmur and complain every time. And the Bible tells us about these. And the message for this morning is to get you out of the congregation mindset and get you into the place where you think like a son and a daughter of the living God. Amen. That will make a difference in your life. Amen. Sons are loyal at all costs. Congregations come and go. So whatever God says to us, sons and daughters of the house, it becomes law, it becomes principles. We don't discuss it or contemplate it. We execute what he tells us to do. Amen. That's the difference between congregation mindset and sonship. Amen. Hallelujah. And you must remember that God never started the church. God started a family. A family first. And out of the family came a church. And out of the church came a great community. And out of the community came a nation. And that is exactly the principles that I want to bring to you this morning. Joshua generation, and you hear me say this all the time, it's not about the young and old. The Joshua generation is about those who obey the word of God. The well-instructed generation who are willing to take on every word of God that he speaks and be doers of it. That's the Joshua generation. Hallelujah. We must be trained and train until we can hear God's voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we prayed for the children, so that they can start to hear God's voice in that early age, just like Samuel heard. Samuel was trained to hear God's voice. And I pray that we will continue to pray for our children, as Mama Alice said. Continue to pray for them so that they become to know and understand God's voice. Because in this world today, there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of voices in schools. There's a lot of voices in the television. There's a lot of voices in news media. But which voice are we going to train our children to hear? We must move out of the congregation mindset and start having a mindset of sons and daughters. And to do that, we must allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. After all, he is called the teacher and the counselor. Hallelujah. I cannot do this job if I try to do it on my own strength. I had to rely so much on the Holy Spirit. And God brought me to a place where it is a place that I must truly and truly rely on his spirit. Because this is about the spirit. And those who worship him in what? In truth and in spirit. So today I'm talking to spirit people. People that understand the spirit. So God has his eye on this church. I know that, because why? All the prophecies that have come upon this church, we must not take it for granted that, oh, it's just another prophecy. We must become people that align ourselves with the word of God. We must align ourselves with what God has been speaking. And you know, in the last couple of years, in 2017, I've been pretty much bringing prophetic instructions. Just the prophetic instructions that were given as the word was spoken. I took all of this word and I ran with it. And I kept bringing it to the church to prepare the church for what is about to come. And it is an amazing time that we now live in. We believe that we can do great things in God in our lifetime. Do you believe that? You believe that you can do great things in God in your lifetime. Amen. In this insignificant life you're living right now, do you think you can do great things in God? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. You must believe that, because God wants you to believe that. And we can do it. And when we do it together, I see, if a group of people like this come together and believe the same thing, I tell you, the power that happens inside is more powerful than anything that you can ever, ever fathom your mind across. And I believe that we can do that. And to do that, we must what? Be transformed. Amen. First, we have to be transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Is good, pleasing, and perfect will. We cannot approve and validate God's word until our mindsets are transformed. And this is what I'm going to talk about this morning. And I believe that God will be speaking to each and every person here today. And at the end of this, I'm going to pray for those who want to be transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that. It says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Is good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when you study the Old Testament, the story of Moses, you begin to see that Moses was not a freedom fighter. He wasn't fighting for people's freedom. Moses was a deliverer. That's different from being a freedom fighter. He was given a task to go and deliver God's people out of Egypt. And Moses, he was chosen to deliver the Israelites from Pharaoh's grasp of slavery. That was his job. He was a trained military man, but instead of God using him as a military man, God used him simply as a messenger and a deliverer. And so Moses is not just a person. Moses is a symbol of freedom. When you talk about Moses, think about freedom. And Jesus Christ on the cross, on Calvary, is the sign of freedom that you and I now enjoy because of that work that he has done. So I want you to really get into your spirit this morning, because the church needs transformed people to move the church forward. We cannot move the church forward if we still are inside the place of slavery. Slaves cannot move something. It's the free people that will move things. And this morning I want you to be free from your mindset, free from your spirit, free from everything that has been holding you back from becoming one of those mindset chains that God is going to use. Moses did not set the people free. He was the deliverer of the people. I want you to listen very carefully. And the deliverer simply means that someone who takes them out of slavery and places them in a desert. God is smart. God is an amazing God. Hallelujah. And our lives are like that. He took them out of physical slavery, but the mental slavery is still the issue. And God had to deal with that inside the desert, that mental slavery. And many of us are like that. We come to church, set free, saved, but still carrying Egypt with us into the church. Nothing is worse than someone who's not being transformed. See, that's the tough part. The issue for Moses, and the most difficult, was dealing with mental slavery. And it takes almost a generation to deal with it. God allowed a whole generation of mental slavery, people that have still got that mental slavery in their heads. He had to deal with them for one whole 40 years of that. Hallelujah. We are still mentally damaged. That's why deliverance is the most difficult part, because some of you are out of Egypt, but you bring Egypt to church with you. Oh, hello, somebody. Yeah. Oh, fasten your seatbelt. It's going to get rough. It's going to be a bumpy ride from here on. Hallelujah. We bring Egypt into the church, and that's why we don't see the power of God inside the church. Hallelujah. And we have to be realistic about these things. We are still mentally damaged, and that's why deliverance is the most difficult part for Moses. That's why the people complain, why did you take us out of our comfort zone? They mumble and grumble and murmur and complain about everything, because in slavery they had everything. They had their houses, they had food, they had everything given to them, yet they were slaves. But Moses took them out of that comfort zone, brought them into a place called the wilderness, and kept them there until God said, these people are not going to cross over until there is a mindset change. And so the deliverer will physically set you free. He takes the chains off you. He opens the prison doors. He tells you to go out, but he cannot take you into freedom. Hallelujah. Freedom is not a location, my friends. Freedom is a mental state. Freedom is a mentality. It is not a place. Going to a promised land for us is not a place. It is our mental state. Nothing is worse than taking a slave into freedom without freedom in his mind. Why am I talking like that? Because I was like that. I went to church carrying Egypt with me to church. Saved, singing hallelujah, praise God, but still living like Egypt inside the church. And my friends, that's why we don't see the power of God in church. Because God says, I'm holy. And if we claim to be people of God, righteous and holy, then God says, there's the path we have to walk. There's prices that we have to pay. Why? Because the greatest price has already been paid for us on the cross. And we have the obligation to be righteous before God. He gave us the Holy Ghost to be able to do that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16, it says, woe to you, O land, when your king is a child or a slave. It's strong words from Solomon. It says, woe to you, the land. So woe to, if it was Australia, woe to Australia if our king or our prime minister is a child or a slave. That word woe means the land is in trouble. The slave become king means even though you give the person power, they still think like a slave or a child in other translations. In PNG we have a saying, baby sense. You've got all these amazing educated people with baby sense. Baby sense meaning they don't have any wisdom or knowledge at all. There's a lot of educated fools we have inside the politicians. Oh, hello somebody. We have educated fools everywhere. That's why God says what? My people perish because of what? Lack of wisdom. Without wisdom, we're lack of knowledge. Without knowledge, we can't go anywhere. Hallelujah. We don't blame the devil for everything. We blame what? Lack of knowledge. That's why we train you to think differently. When you come into the kingdom of God, you're trained to think differently. Hallelujah. You have a mental mindset change. Hallelujah. Bible says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. When you receive the word today, your mind is being transformed. When you read the word of God, your mind is being transformed. How do you get transformed? Hang out with the people that will transform you. Iron sharpens iron, hallelujah. And people that you need, you choose your friends, you bring your friends in. I said, get rid of all the other ones that are going to cause you to sin and bring those ones in that will cause you to walk upright and righteous before God. That's our obligation. We have the freedom to choose who we become friends with. So my friends, your young people today, get rid of your friends that are doing rubbish, your friends that are being doing all these stupid things that are causing you to become like them. Get rid of them. Even today too, you moms and dads sitting here today, get rid of those people that talk nonsense and get into the place where people build you up in the spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nothing is worse than a powerful slave because the mentality will destroy the people. There is a lot of educated fools. We were all educated fools until we came to Christ. Hallelujah. Some of you sitting here, oh, I wasn't that one. Yes, you were. All of you were shady characters before you came to Christ. Hallelujah. You can sit there and go, oh, no, I'm not that. I used to think like that. I used to think, oh, you know, what's? I never killed anybody. I thought sin was you have to murder someone or commit adultery, do all this. I said, I'm a nice guy. I didn't do all these things. Yes, you were born into sin. It's not about your righteousness because the Bible tells us that your righteousness is what? Like filthy rags. And filthy rags is the same rag you use to clean your nose, clean your snot, and clean everything else with it. That's what filthy rags is about. So wearing a crown doesn't change your mind. It exposes it. And that is why we need the period in deliverance to try and change the mentality of the slave.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because if he doesn't have the mental transformation, the slave will be no benefit to freedom. What good is freedom when the slave is still a slave? Hallelujah. What good is a church when we are still slaves to Egypt? What good is the work of God in the church when we are still bringing Egypt into the church? Hallelujah. Bible says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Hallelujah.
The modern church, my friends, is full of people who have been delivered but are still connected to the world through their mentality. That's why the pastor's job is hard in the church, because we have to deal with people's mentality all the time. Hallelujah. Somebody shout out and say amen. Amen. My friends, God does not do anything based on how the world thinks or how we think, but according to his word and the faith that he has already given to us. Bible says everyone was dealt with a measure of faith. You and I have faith. Before we even knew God, God has already dealt that to us. There's a little space that belongs to God. It belongs to God, and only God can fill that space. No one else can. No drugs, alcohol, sex, none of these things can fill that all except God. That is a God space. That is a measure of faith that he has already given us. And the modern church should be thinking, God does not do anything unless it comes through our faith. Oh, hallelujah. And I said it 2 weeks ago. I said, if you lose your house, praise God. If you lose your car, praise the Lord. Because faith can bring those things back to you. Amen. If you lose your family, faith will bring that back. Read the story of Job. Powerful story. He lost everything, but his faith and his love for God brought everything back. Double fold. Hallelujah. Amen. Lose everything, but don't lose your faith. He will do everything through that faith that he's already given you. This is probably why when you read the story of Moses and the children of Israel, you'll discover that all of the people that came out of Egypt died in the wilderness. All of them died in the desert. God didn't allow one to go in except the new generation. Matter of fact, he told that they will not go into the promised land, and he told them why. He said, because you have not changed your mind. Wow. God says, because you have not changed your mind, you cannot enter. And church, your faith can die if you do not change your mindset. And start to exercise your faith by putting some action into your faith. Faith requires action to build it up. Faith requires action to sustain it. We need to sustain what God has already given us. And that takes action to do it. James chapter 2, wonderful scripture of faith, verse 14 to 26. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Hallelujah. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works of faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, not Rahab the harlot also justified by works? She received the messengers and sent them out the other way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. It's a very strong scripture for us to talk about faith. So God kept them there long enough in the desert to take what they were carrying in them, which is the next generation. God kept them in the desert until he took the seed. And he says, this is the seed that's going to cross over into the promised land. And the seed didn't have that experience of slavery. The seed didn't have this story of all this stuff that the Pharaoh did to them. The seed was a new mindset change of young people. Hallelujah. The seed was the Joshua generation. So for 40 years, after 40 years, the children were born. These kids knew nothing about Egypt, that God buried all the parents, the Joshua generation was born. Hallelujah. And my friends, that's what God is speaking to us today. Bury the past. Bury all that stuff that you've been with in Egypt.
Yes.
Because you are a new born again person right now. You're born in the spirit. You're different from your past. Hallelujah. We can't bring our past with us right now in this day and age. Hallelujah. What is the Joshua generation? To me, Joshua generation is not about the young generation. It is about the people having faith and people that sees grasshoppers and giants as grasshoppers. Hallelujah. And people who see mountains as foothills.
Hallelujah.
These are the Joshua generation. People that see giants as grasshoppers. People that see mountains as just a little ant mound or something. That's the kind of generation that God wants in the church today. That's why I'm talking today, because of what has been spoken over this church, what God is preparing this church for.
Amen.
And we must all come together and start thinking like the Joshua generation. Leave Egypt out. Hallelujah. Come into the church to get transformed.
Yes.
Renew your mindsets.
Yes.
Joshua has a glimpse of the future very clearly, but he also has an appreciation of the past. He appreciates Moses. He appreciates all that Moses has done. But this is the new generation now. And everything God did with Moses was different from what he did with Joshua. So if you read the transition between Moses and Joshua, they're actually two different books. The last book that Moses wrote is called Deuteronomy. The last chapter in that book is chapter 34, verse 5. And read what God says. He says, "And Moses died." That's it. And the last few verses said, "And Moses died," or "Moses was dead, and Joshua became the leader of the people." Moses laid hands on Joshua and presented him to the people. Then he went back up in the mountain and never came back. God says, the season is changing. The time is changing. Everything is changing now. And God made sure that Moses' grave was never found. In fact, the reason why God allowed that to happen, God made sure that no one can find his grave, is because he didn't want the people to worship the past, that they cannot bring forth the present. He made sure that they don't worship Moses and forget to raise up Joshua. That's why he did it. That's why he hid Moses' body, so that we won't find it. We humans are so we just want to worship anything. And if something is so amazing, we start to worship it. And God hid Moses' body so that the people won't worship him. There is an important symbol. We should not worship Moses to the point where we cannot create Joshua's in our generation. And we're here this morning to create Joshua's. We're here to create the Joshua's generation, the ones that obey the word of God, the ones that say, "Yes, I'm going to take this on regardless of what's going to come." Hallelujah. Regardless of what people say about me, I'm going to be that person. Hallelujah. So the last thing that was said about Moses is that he died. That's it. And here's what amazes me. It's also a very powerful principle. The book of Deuteronomy ends where God says to the people, "Moses is dead." And when you turn the next page, the first chapter of Joshua, which is the next generation, God repeats himself to Joshua. It says, "Moses is dead." He said it twice. And I believe that the first one was a physical statement. He says, "Moses, your leader, is dead." Physically, he's dead. But he says, again, he says, "Moses is dead." That's the era. He's talking about the era now. The era of Moses, the generation of Moses, the season of Moses is dead. Now, this is the new generation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which means I don't want to talk about Moses anymore. I don't want to talk about how we're going to think the way Moses did. I want to talk about how Joshua is going to do things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's not depend on Moses to do what we need to do right now. Let's depend on what Joshua can do.
Yes.
Let's appreciate him, respect his legacy, remember that what he did, and let's move on. Moses died on the wilderness side of Jordan River, and on the other side is freedom. And so Moses brought the people through the Red Sea, which is deliverance. And Joshua now has to take the people across the Jordan into freedom. Hallelujah. And between the Red Sea and the Jordan River is the wilderness, where transformation of mindsets happen. Wilderness is good for you and I. It's a good place for God to deal with every situation in your life before you can ever cross into the freedom land. Hallelujah. Because he doesn't want to bring that, what you have, into that place that he's promised for us. And so we need to be thinking now that this is the time to change. And wilderness, if you're in wilderness right now, praise God for the wilderness. Because it's a place that you can start to think, start to change your mindset. Hallelujah. But because the people didn't want a transformation, God created a new generation and takes them over to freedom. And the Joshuas are very important. He's the one that brings the people into freedom. My friends, I'm looking at a whole new Joshua generation sitting here right now. See, Joshua is not about young and old. Never look at someone old and say, oh, you're the part of the Moses generation. No, the generation is still living today with you. You young people today, if you're 7 years old, and some of us are what, 63 years old.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, we are still the same generation. Amen? Mibla young playet. Mibla got kick yet. Hallelujah. Who's 63? I'm not even 63. But you know what I'm getting at, do you?
Yes.
It's not about the young and old generation. Because the 70-year-old and a 7-year-old is the same generation. They're still doing the work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this generation today is the one that we see something great in God.
Amen.
Jesus said, this generation will not what? Pass away. You are in the most amazing generation right now. We are living in the most exciting time right now. Hallelujah. And that's why we need to be excited about what God is doing. We should not be just playing church and saying, you know, churches, we're going to a church. No. Come and thinking you have something great to offer for the kingdom of God today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The next phase of the church, my friends, has to be managed by the Joshuas. This phase of the church has to be managed by the Joshuas. Hallelujah. Our forefathers that have come and brought the gospel to us, our grandfathers, they're all gone. They were the generation that brought this wonderful thing we call the gospel right now, the truth of the living God. And we are the generation that will take it on. The next phase of your life has to be managed by a Joshua spirit, the spirit of Joshua, hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost can give that to you.
Amen.
Where do you stand right now, my friends? Are you standing in the congregation of murmurers and complainers and butterfly spirit kind of people that just go into churches, in and out, flowerpot Christianity? Are you part of that generation? Or are you part of the ones that will plant themselves and become pillars of the church? Hallelujah. They become bearing fruit inside the church, carrying the work of the church. Hallelujah. That's the kind of generation that God is looking for. That's the kind of generation I want. That kind of generation. That means just grit your teeth and just do it. Hallelujah. Amen? Smile. Look at each other and say, that's my word today. It's a very good word. Joshua says to the people, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in what? Sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Wow. First statement that Joshua gave to the people. He says what? Therefore now, he says, fear the Lord and serve him in what? Sincerity. Christianity and walking with Jesus is not a place where you can pretend to be. You can't pretend to be a Christian. You can't pretend. He says sincerity. He says be one. Live a lifestyle that belongs to God.
Amen.
It is not something that you can pretend to be. It is not something that you've been part of. You have to be in it or you're out. There is no gray area in Christianity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is no such thing as sitting on the on the fence. It's a painful place to be. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. Oh boy, where did that come from? Praise God. It is a painful place. And you don't want to be there. There is no gray area in Christianity. There is no gray area when we're following God. Hallelujah. Shout out and give God a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the same question that we must be asking ourselves. What gods are you serving that's preventing you from serving God? What is your God this morning? What is the thing that's stopping you from serving the true God? Hallelujah. That's what Joshua said. Get rid of all that stuff before we cross over. That's a question that you can answer yourself. Ask the Holy Ghost, what is it that's blocking me from really serving you? What is it that's blocking me from really walking in faith? Friends, these are valid questions and real questions that you can ask God, and He will show you. In your prayer time, ask God, God, what is it that's blocking me from serving you? And God will point. And He will point to the places where you really liked very much. And you will not want to get part with that thing. But God says, get rid of that. That will become your God. And your God is going to stop you from worshiping the real true God. Hallelujah. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes. Hallelujah. Verse 15, and it says, but if serving God seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. In other words, don't sit on the fence. Make up your mind. Don't live double standard lives. Don't come to church on Sunday and live like the devil from Monday to Saturday. No, you come to church and you live like the church and you live like Christ all through the week. Hallelujah. Don't be a summering Christian on Monday and back up on Sunday and then Monday you back down again underground, undercover. There's no such thing as undercover Christians. Hallelujah. See that scripture over there? It says, let your light shine. We must become like that city on a hill. Hallelujah. Yes, shining its light. Amen. Living like gospel church is exactly what this church is all about. That's why integrity in this church is important. And I believe we're going to run our integrity leadership again. To get everybody back into that place where we think like transformed mindsets. Amen. Where we do things like people who are transformed. Hallelujah. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in those land who you were living. And then he made a declaration. He says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua looked at his own family, his own children, his own wife, and he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then he looked at Israel and he says, now you choose what God you want to serve. Hallelujah. Yeah. And that decision, my friends, is yours today. You make the decision for your family. You make the decision for your household. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Both Moses and Joshua were faced with water problems. And I'm going to bring this principle because it's really powerful to understand. The same God that was with Moses was also with Joshua. But he will never repeat the same things that he did with Joshua. We must never expect what they did with the past generation with what he can do right now. When Samson used the donkey bone to slay the Philistines, he didn't decide, wow, this is really good. I'm just going to, you know, this is powerful. I'm just going to guard that and keep that. And God's going to use it again. The Bible says, he threw it away. The anointing for tomorrow is different from the anointing from now. Today's anointing is different from tomorrow. Whatever you use today is what it's not what God's going to use tomorrow. Moses used a stick. Joshua, he said to him, you take the Ark of the Covenant and you stand in the water. This is how it's going to be different. Moses pointed the stick on dry land. He says, Joshua, you take this and you stand in the water with the priest. Take this and stand in the water. The approach was different, but the vision was the same. Hallelujah. The methods will be completely different, but the objective is the same. We reach the same objective. Joshua had to face the water as well and Jordan River. Moses did his with a piece of wood that confirms the miracle that God was with him. But Joshua meets two things. Joshua meets a man dressed in a military suit. Key principle again. Moses had experience, but Moses had a vision. And sometimes experience can destroy vision. Sometimes we're so experienced in doing things that we forgot about the vision. God is not going to do the same thing He did in the past with our generation today. The move of God is going to come. Hallelujah, I believe that. It's going to be different. It's going to be so different. Because in the past moves, people claim what belongs to God. The church has started to say, we created this. We did this. Because of that, we are this denomination. We are this. We are affiliated to this. And we, you know, God is not about the KGB and the AOG and the COC and all that. He was involved in kingdom. And so when the people started to claim something that belongs to Him, He pulled His hand off. But I believe this revival that's coming, it's going to start in the heart of man. And inside the heart of man, no man can touch that. Hallelujah. The devil won't even know what hit him. Because that is going to start inside the heart of man. Hallelujah. Joshua had to face that water. Moses had experience and Joshua had the vision. And sometimes experience can destroy a vision. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. That's how we do things. My friends, we're going to do a camp. And I'm very, very serious about this camp. This camp is going to teach us how to work with the Holy Ghost. How to hear the Holy Spirit. To work with the Holy Spirit. Because without Him, we can never achieve everything that we have called to do in this church. We're going to have this camp and we're going to announce it to you. And it's going to be something that we're going to impart into each and every person here who is hungry for something to do, who is hungry for greater things in God. So if you're feeling insignificant right now, see, God never uses anything significant in the eyes of man. Look at the Bible. He never used anyone that has been trained. Every person that He used in the Bible, it's always just insignificant men and women like just you and I sitting in this room today. And God is going to use that. You know, if you're feeling insignificant today, let me be the first to congratulate you. You are qualified for this job. You're qualified to do greater things in God. That's what God can do to you. It's not about us as we were singing this song. It's about Him. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. The methods will be different. Joshua did cross the water, but he walked in the water first. And he got wet. And I believe that there's a symbolic powers there. The next generation is not going to walk through on dry ground. They have to get wet. And when Joshua got into the promised land, he didn't see Jericho. He met a man first. A man dressed up in military attire. The angel of the Lord. And if you remember Moses, when they came out of the Egypt, there was no military activity. It was all signs and wonders all the way through. Why? God was doing the fighting for them. God was doing the fighting for them. The miracles were all done by God. But in the promised land, when they met the military man, the sign was that, pick out your sword. It's time to fight. We cannot live this Christian life casually. You have to fight. Fight to keep that life. Fight to preserve it. Fight to preserve your family. Hallelujah. And that is what the Joshua generation must do. We must fight. And how do we fight? We fight in the place of prayer. We talked about prayer. Your individual prayer lives is great. But the prayer of the church together, coming together and praying together, it's really important for the church that we all come to pray together. That we all hear God together. That God speaks to two or three and confirms what He's talking about and what He wants for the church. And we know how to move and direct the church when God speaks. Hallelujah. Now that's important. That's why we keep saying our fight is not what? Against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of high places. That's our fight. We fight. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, I'll read this old scripture. It's a beautiful scripture. It says, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, he says, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to what? To stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your wrist or your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then he says what? All this armor that you put on, preparing for what? To what? To pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Hallelujah. You know, I thank God for the armor of God. But we cannot walk around with just the helmet of salvation. And that's why the devil takes pot shots at us every time. Because people walk around with just the helmet of salvation. Praise God, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. And you have a battle time on this earth today. God says, put on the full armor. Put it on. It's to protect you when you go to war. Amen. Not just the helmet of salvation. Christians walking around with just the helmet of salvation get shot down, dragged back into the slavery where they came from. That's why you get dragged back, because the pull of the world is strong. Don't for 1 minute underestimate what the enemy is doing. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the armor of God, but I feel sorry for those who are just walking around with helmets of salvation. Put on the full armor. Just being saved will not help you with the battle. Just being saved will not help you win battles. The battle is still on this earth, and I believe that we should win battles on this earth. Yes. We should be people of victory all the time. Amen. Why? Because we come from that place. We come from the place of victory. God has already done it for us. So our battle cry is never our fight. God says, the battle is mine. Amen. Vengeance is mine. Amen. Stop trying to talk back to your critics. People criticize you and you feel like you don't need to say something. Mm-hmm. You know, God stopped me from that long time ago. God says, they're mine. You continue with what I've called you to do. Critics, they want to drag you into a fight that doesn't belong to you. Yeah. It's not your fight. It's God's fight. So people criticize you. Praise God. Pray for them. Hallelujah. The Bible says, pray for those who what? Persecute you. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Pray for your enemies. You know, my grandfather used to have a wonderful prayer for me. He'd pray for me. He says, God, let all his enemies become his friends. Wow. I never saw that until I started going out and I'm seeing my enemies become my friends. People that hated me become my friends. I'm thinking, wow, how did that happen? That's from a prayer. That's from a powerful prayer of faith, from a man of faith that believes what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Let me just finish with this scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39 says, what shall we say in response to all these or to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Hallelujah. This is powerful. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whoa, hallelujah. My friends, nothing external can separate you. But you yourself can separate yourself from God through what you bring into your life. Amen? God doesn't come near sin. And if there's sin in your life, you yourself will draw yourself away from God. That's your choice. People that live in sin will always never come close to God. They will always be away from God. And that's that separation that happens when we ourselves inflict those things on our lives. But nothing from the outside can touch us. Nothing from external can come. That's what Jesus said. It's not what you put into your body that causes you to sin. It's what comes out. He's talking about your choices and what you do with your life. Hallelujah. So let's be people that are understanding that our minds have to be transformed. My friends, the Bible tells me in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus came through, fought the good fight for you, died on the cross, whooped the devil's backside, did all that stuff, won the battle for you, and now he gave it you. And then what happened? He didn't take all his power and went back with it to heaven. He gave it to who? Yours truly. He says, all authority I've given to you. You know, I've been rallying everyone for traveling prayer in this church. Constantly saying, come on, let's come together to pray. I feel that God's about to shift ours. I believe that. And he's been shifting it for the last couple of years. But there's another shift coming that we need to get involved in. And in the days to come, he will birth this move. I believe that God will birth a move inside your spirit. It's going to come. I'm already feeling something's happening inside my spirit. And I can see it when we come to prayer. Something happens inside the place of prayer. And I encourage you to make some changes in your life today. Leave the things that are holding you back from following God, from getting involved in God, from living your full potential in God. Hallelujah. Let's come together for prayer. You know, praying in the mornings is one of the most difficult times. That's why Jesus chose that time. 4 o'clock, maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. In the Middle East, I think it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Gets up and prays and talks to his Father. 4 hours with the Father, 1 second with the demon. 4 hours with the Father, 1 second with family problem. 4 hours with the Father, 1 second with disease and illness. 4 hours with the Father, demons left people in 1 second. Amazing. And so if we build ourselves like that, build ourselves with transformed mindsets to come for prayer, you don't have to pray. Just be there. Sometimes God will speak to you just from you sitting there. Hallelujah. Come and be part of something. Come and be involved in something. Get excited about what the church has been called to do. Get excited about the prophetic word that has been spoken over this church. Get excited about these things. Because at the end of the day, it's about the remnant that's going to take this on. The Bible says there's a great falling away happening. And the great falling away doesn't happen in the world. It happens inside the church. People literally left Jesus. People literally stopped following Jesus. People stopped believing in Jesus. And those are the things that can get you, is you making the choice to walk away from God. Amen. And it's happening. It's happening in churches. And one of the greatest things and the things that I feel in my spirit all the time is to bring these kind of words to you so that you don't become part of that falling away that's happening inside the church. Hallelujah. No matter how long you are in church, no matter how long your father and mother are in church, you are responsible for the choices that you make. Amen? The choice, young people, listen to me, the choice that you make is not your father's and your mother's, it's yours. You make the choice. Your path is different from your father and your mother. You carve that path yourself. God ordains your path different from how your mother and your father walks. But this is the place to build it. This is the place to build your spirit. Build yourself in the things of God. Mindset change happens in here when the word of God is being preached. Receive it today and say, God, I'm going to make some changes in my life. Hallelujah. Remember, revival doesn't come from anywhere. Revival can start here. We can create it here. People pray prizes for revival. And those prizes come from people praying and hungry for God, seeking after God. Hallelujah. Friends, if you want change in your life, start working on some mindset change. Start working on some choices that are good for your mindset change. Amen. Hallelujah. You're the one that makes the choice. Amen? You have the power to choose from right and wrong. That has been given to you by God Himself. That's the will. The willpower is a very powerful thing. It's a gift from God Himself that He gives to us that we may be able to identify and discern things that are not right. But in case we go off the rails a little bit, He gave us the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit's conviction is the most powerful, strong convictions. And I pray that this conviction will be upon you this morning. That's why we're going to pray for you today. Pray that your conviction becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. That your decisions that you make starts from just the small things. Because if you can fight the small battles, then you are ready for the big battles that come by making the right decisions. Amen? My friends, that's my heart to you this morning that I wanted to bring. I felt that the Lord wanted me to speak on this, and I think I'm not going to be stopping from speaking on this, and I'll be continuing this for a while to see us come together, to see transformed mindsets inside the church. Amen? God is going to do the work. I'm only just the voice that bring the word and bring some instructions to us this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I want the music team to come. I want you all to stand. I know you've got a roasting in the oven, but don't let that become, don't let that hinder what God has called you to do, or what God has called you to receive. Hallelujah. If you're tired of being in the same place, same place, same things happening all over and over, going around in circles in your life because of some things that you've made or decisions that you've made, today I believe we can break this by the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll pray over your life and break this thing so that you become the generation that God wants you to. That you become part of the Joshua generation that obeys and walk in the principles and the precepts of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. Hallelujah. I know this word is for you. There are people in here that need to hear this word. There are people in here that are called for something great in God. I believe that. As insignificant as you are, God is going to use you. All of us were born for something. All of us were gifted for something. And today, this morning, I want to pray for you so that your mindset become like the mindset of Joshua. That spirit that only comes from the Spirit of God, that transforms mindset. There's no such thing as old and young. 7-year-olds, I can pray for you this morning. 60 years old, 70 years old, I can pray for you this morning. Because I believe we can do something great in God together. God uses insignificant people. No matter how educated you are or uneducated you are, God doesn't care. He just wants a vessel. He just wants a hand that He can use. He just wants a feet that He can use. He wants eyes that He can use. He wants mouth that He can use. A tongue to speak truth He can use. A voice to speak that He can use. That's what it's all about today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Never look down on yourself. Never look down on yourself. As old as you are, you're still young in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Your spirit is always young. Your spirit doesn't grow old. This body will wither and go down and be frail and old, but your spirit is sharp. Hallelujah. God is looking for the generation's mindset. Joshua generation mindset. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jen.
Love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm just going to pray a general prayer. Pastor Bill, come.
From the moment that I wake up until I